Yo, what's happening, everybody? It's your boy, Earth Smack, the Mad Scientist, and this is Pro Wrestling Talk Live, Tuesday night, in daylight savings time, because I know it messed a lot of people up over the course of the weekend, especially on Sunday. That extra hour ahead, like, took us down for the count, man. We needed that extra hour. Like, can we go back to an hour, you know what I mean? But we got some news here for Pro Wrestling Talk, man, and it is all AEW, man, because AEW has been cooking on all cylinders out here in these streets. I know it's WrestleMania season, and it is a given that WrestleMania is next month, and all the talk is around, well, most of the talk is around WrestleMania somewhat, but AEW is like, nah, we got some news for you guys today, and that goes in... Good things come in three. You ever heard that phrase? Good things come in three. Like, let's start with Will Ospreay and Kazuka Okada, and then the debut of Mercedes Moné. But we're gonna start with Mercedes Moné here. Like, AEW big business is tomorrow night. All right, tomorrow night in Boston. Massachusetts. Who's from Boston, Massachusetts, ladies and gentlemen? That is Mercedes Moné, FKA Sasha Banks. You know what I mean? So this is the third nail in the coffin for AEW, because they changed the look of AEW Dynamite. They changed the intro music, and things is picking up. Business is picking up. And now Mercedes Moné has been long rumored that she signed with AEW, and of course with the Royal Rumble you had some WWE elitists was like, if she shows up, when she shows up at Royal Rumble, I can't wait to see the egg on people's face, that for the people that said that she was going to AEW. Yeah, Sasha Banks didn't show up to Royal Rumble because she already signed with AEW. Now, for how long, we really don't know. We don't know if it's for 3 years. We don't know if it's for 5 years. I can't imagine it being for 5 years. In the most recent interview that she had, she stated that eventually, you know, she's going to go back to WWE sooner or later. And that left the AEW fan base in a tizzy. And it was like, oh, why did you say that? You know, you're only here for a short time, not a long time. You don't know how long she's going to be in AEW. Any wrestling fan knows that a professional wrestler tends not to stay with the company, with one company, their whole entire career. It just doesn't work that way. I mean, okay, The Undertaker, you can honestly say he has been with WWE his entire career, because he was Mean Mark Calloway in WCW. He was with WCW first before he jumped ship. Steve Austin jumped ship. The Rock is different. The Rock is homegrown WWE. John Cena is homegrown WWE. He finished his career with WWE. Roman Reigns, same way. The Usos, same way. But it's not a very long list of people. Like, if you start with a certain wrestling company, sometimes you jump ship, and if things don't go well there, you jump ship back. You know, you have a storied career, and this is what Mercedes Moné is doing. I mean, she left WWE. She didn't like the conditions that was going on. She didn't want to leave. She said in an interview, like, she homegrown WWE talent. But that she stated that was one of the best decisions she ever made. Like, she ventured off to stardom. She ventured off to Japan, like something she always wanted to do. She had freedom, her and Trinity, freedom. Then you know, unfortunately, she got injured, but she kept on doing movies and stuff like that, wrapping up film. And then she knows AEW is going to give her the freedom. The freedom to go do movies and shows and stuff, and at the same time, visit Japan, wrestle women in Japan, wrestle women in AEW, and help put AEW women's roster further on the map than they already are. It's just good business. It's big business. And if you think that she's going to stay with AEW the rest of her career, you're smoking. You really are smoking. How about enjoy the time that she's with AEW for however long she's with us? And who knows? Maybe she go to that locker room and she hang around with the women there, and she be like, you know what? I kind of like this locker room better than WWE's locker room. Maybe it's like that. Maybe she says, hey, Bayley, come on over. You know, come check this thing out. Bianca, come check this thing out over here, because it looks good over here. Things are looking pretty good over here. Maybe y'all can do some things over here. I'm just taking shots in the dark. That's all I'm doing. This stuff is not guaranteed and all that other stuff, but she's doing good business because she still wants to experience freedom. And if you've been with the company for so long that would not allow you to do those things, and you have the opportunity to do those things, why would you be in a big rush to go back to that, knowing full well you can't do those things anymore for however long you're under contract? That's just asinine for you to think that. For the WWE elitists, come on now. Why, like, you asking for someone not to know their worth? If AEW and TK is willing to pay this woman the amount of money she feels like she's worth, and if I were Mercedes, yes, I'm going to go where I'm valued, where I feel like I'm valued. You can't just sit here and be mad at the woman, because there's some WWE elitists like, oh, well, she's overrated anyway. She wasn't overrated when she was going on WWE, was she? She's not overrated when she's Sasha Banks, but she's overrated when she's Mercedes Moné, because it didn't cater to your sensibilities. Man, that's trash. That's trash behavior. Trash behavior. And people like you make wrestling fandom hurt the way it is, man. Like, for new people, it makes it hard for new fans to come in, because you gatekeep so much, so hard, that you feel like you have to pick a side and stay on that side. I mean, there's some people on Twitter that their whole livelihood is to troll fans of certain companies. If you're a fan of AEW, everything that AEW does is trash. If you're a fan of WWE, everything that WWE is trash. Like, can we just enjoy both shows? Can we enjoy TNA? Can we enjoy WWE? Can we enjoy AEW, New Japan Pro Wrestling, Stardom, all that good stuff, and just say, hey, we love pro wrestling for the way it is? Now, a part of me is glad that Monday Nitro and Raw wasn't in the internet age, because we just sat there and enjoyed it, what it was. There was nobody on there on Twitter fingers. Mercedes Moné is enjoying her time, and let her enjoy her time. Now, what are the benefits of her joining AEW? Well, she has over 2 million followers on Twitter, which means a great majority of those followers are going to follow her to AEW and see what she does in AEW, which means more eyes are on the product, which means more people are going to fill those arenas and stadiums or whatever to see Mercedes. And she get to cut loose. You know what I'm saying? She don't have to have any handcuffs on her, because you've seen those epic matches she used to have in NXT. You've seen those epic matches she had with Charlotte Flair. Like, this is an opportunity to be the number one woman in AEW. And mind you, you know, we got the ranking system, and I'm going to speak on that too with the ranking system. But, you know, you got the ranking system, and maybe she said, hey, I'm going to start from the bottom. I'm going to work my way up to the top. Adam Copeland is, like Christian did it, like Bryan Danielson did it. Like, anybody new that came in, they pretty much wrestled from the bottom and got themselves back up to where they are. Like, they didn't automatically get a title shot. And that was AEW's formula. That is AEW's formula. But I cannot wait for Wednesday. What happens on Wednesday? I cannot wait. How would you debut Mercedes Moné on AEW? I can't think of anything of how to debut this woman. Like, it has to be perfect. And I'm pretty sure she talked to TK. She ought to put some production together. She ought to got how she wants to enter, when she wants to enter, who she wants to face. A lot of people are speculating that she will face Serena Deeb because Deeb has been on a tear. And she's been putting people in submission holes and pinning them. And she was like, she's the final boss in AEW. And I don't know if that's a jab at Mercedes. But, you know, when you start hearing trigger words, you start thinking, yo, okay, Mercedes, she calling out Mercedes. Maybe Mercedes be the one that finally faces Serena Deeb. And she's going to face Serena Deeb at Dynasty. That would be awesome to see. That would be awesome to see. Now, Dynasty is... if I'm not mistaken, Dynasty is next month. So would you wait a whole month for her to wrestle? I don't know. I feel like you have to put her in the ring, you know, within a couple weeks' time. Like, show what she can do in the ring. Because at that point, it's going to pop a rating. It's going to pop a rating. Let her be the main event. Let the women main event. And, you know, obviously there have been rumors circling around that she wants an all-women's pay-per-view or all-women's show or something like that. I mean, that can come down the turnpike. Who knows? Not saying it is true or not, but it's definitely interesting to see because there hasn't been an all-women's pay-per-view since, what, the Mae Young Classic or Revolution or Evolution, you know, WWE Evolution or whatever the case would be, and there was no more after that. That was it. But Deeb was good women matches in WWE had, and it never recycled back to that. Never went back to that. This is an opportunity for AEW to do just that. And you got the perfect woman to do that, to showcase that. And you look at the roster and the matches that AEW women have been having in 2024. Longer matches. Toni Storm. You got Riho, Serena Deeb, Willow Nightingale, Chris Statlander, Julia Hart, current TBS champion, Thunder Rosa. I'm just naming a few. Oh, let's not forget Athena. Athena out here doing her thing in Ring of Honor. You can't tell me Athena versus Mercedes Moné, Willow versus Mercedes Moné, Chris Statlander versus Mercedes Moné, Julia Hart versus Mercedes Moné, Toni Storm versus Mercedes Moné. Obviously, they could do so many things. Deonna Purrazzo and Mercedes Moné. Man, notice AEW has been focusing on the women a little bit more than the men. And that's okay because, you know, the men was doing their own thing or whatever. There's a lot of... the women's locker room is getting a lot more love. And I appreciate that. We as a fan base appreciate that. And then you add in Mercedes Moné to the mix. Man, perfect cherry on top. So however long, you know, Mercedes Moné is in AEW, appreciate the fact that she's in AEW. Just enjoy all of that because that raises the stock in AEW even higher. Because if we, as Tony Khan, you know, speaking as if I'm him, if we able to grab someone of Mercedes Moné character, who else can we get? Who else can we elevate? Who else, you know... the sky's the limit. If you are unhappy on the way you're being pushed, guess what you can do? You can bring your ass over to AEW. You can get the freedom you want. You can get the wrestling matches you want. You can wrestle in Mexico. You can wrestle in Japan. It, you know, under the right, you know, under the right umbrella or whatever the case may be. Come on now. AEW Big Business got some things going on, man. From start to finish, I'll say this. It better deliver from 8 to 10 p.m. Maybe have a run over time. Be geeked. Be excited. Because Tony Khan is talking about, I'm excited about AEW Big Business. And Mercedes Moné is like, it's so exciting as a gift. But she never said what she's going to do. She never said she's going to go to AEW. It's more a fan saying, yes, she's with AEW. AEW never confirmed that Mercedes Moné is there. They never confirmed it. That just... for them, they didn't leak this information. It was more of, we got word that Mercedes signed with AEW. And then at that point, that's it. And that was basically the hot free agent at this point. Man, I can't wait to see what happens with AEW Big Business. Also, in news, when it comes to big business. AEW and Shelton Benjamin have been in talks. Now, is something solidified yet? Not so much. I don't know. We don't know. Nothing has been a signed, sealed, delivered type of deal. But AEW and Shelton Benjamin have been in talks. Well, you know, if they do agree to talks, will it be like a case-by-case basis or match-by-match basis? Or will they have a short-term deal, a long-term deal? Because, you know, I'm always a strong proponent for Shelton Benjamin. Shelton Benjamin is a championship-caliber type of guy, and he needs some gold around his waist. And what's a better place to do that than the AEW? You got the Continental Championship. You got the International Championship. You got the TNT Championship. And, of course, you got the AEW World Championship. He is a world champion caliber type of guy, and I feel like he needs another championship run. And AEW would be the perfect place for him. Now, I would sit and say that Shelton Benjamin should be the last male signee for now because of how stacked your roster is. Like, utilize the people that you already have in play and keep it pushing. You know, like, you keep that train rolling. You keep it going. But focus on the women. Like, the more women, the better. The more women, the better. Keep bringing them, because you're going to get to a point where that women's roster is so big that you can actually have a tag team division in the women's roster and actually focus on that tag team division and make it just as good as the male tag team division. Because, you know, the male tag team division was in a little bit of a flux last year. But now you got a tag team tournament, and then you're going to rightfully have your tag team champion. So I'm a strong proponent of having Shelton Benjamin join in with AEW. I'm cool with that at all times. I'm cool with that. I got no issues with that. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. Now, next thing up in line is Okada debuts as a heel. Now, did it go off smooth without a hitch? Not so much. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't bad. It wasn't mediocre. But, you know, he hit that Rainmaker on Eddie Kingston, and that lets me know that Eddie Kingston's next opponent for the Continental Championship will be Okada. And, oh, what a day. Maybe Okada will be the one who takes out Eddie Kingston. Maybe Okada will be the current... You know, the next Continental Champion. I'm not opposed to that. I'm not opposed to that at all. Eddie Kingston has been a great champion. This man has been carrying belts, rightfully so, around and successfully defending those championships. You understand? Successfully. But then you got Okada that debuts as a heel. And I did read some rumors or some reports that this was TK's, you know, vision is the Young Bucks, because Kenny is out, you know, with diverticulitis, and the Young Bucks are heels at this point. They fire Kenny Omega, they suspend Adam Page, and then they say, hey, we got a new member of the Elite, the replacement for Kenny Omega, and that's Okada, which is Kenny Omega's rival. So whenever Kenny Omega shows up, guess what we're going to have, ladies and gentlemen? We're going to have Kenny versus Okada. Now, is this four? Yeah, Kenny Okada 4. I'm going to tell you this. How I got to watch Kenny Omega was his match with Okada the first time. Immediately fell in love with that match. I feel like that match, and I said this ad nauseum, and I still say this to this day. That match to me was better than Bret and Shawn Iron Man match at WrestleMania 12. And a lot of people are going to get butthurt by me saying that because, you know, our childhood memories are circulating and we don't want to trigger that stuff. But we got to be real with it because, you know, when you were thinking about it, Bryan Danielson and MJF Iron Man match was better. They did this for a whole freaking hour and change. You know what I'm saying? But to see that match, that clinic that been put on, I never seen anything like it. And for that standpoint, I kept on watching Kenny Omega and I kept on watching Okada. Okada in New Japan is like, he's like the Ric Flair of WCW to Okada's New Japan. He's like the Hogan in WWF, like Okada is in New Japan. That's who Okada is. He is the guy. Like, he's the John Cena. You know what I'm saying? He's the Roman Reigns. He's the Hogan. He's the Flair. He's that guy in Japan. And when he finally left Japan, he joins AEW, which you know, I feel like a blind man can see that coming because he's very good friends with the Bucks. And when he was in the States, the Bucks treated him so well with respect and hung out with him and everything else in between. That relationship was already tight-knit. And he already done some matches with AEW already. So he already familiar with the environment, familiar with, you know, what's going on. You know, TK is not going to uproot him out of Japan and make him move from Japan to live in the States and everything else in between. He can fly back home whenever he wants to, which that's also a selling point for AEW is the comfort level. So he goes where he's comfortable, but this time hanging around the Bucks, you know, he's going to be a heel type character. Now, this is going to be very interesting because Okada, for the most part, from what we know, he's been a face. And of course, there's been some heel Okada, but a heel Okada in the U.S. that needs to be seen. Like, what's gonna make us stop cheering for him? Because we respect Okada so much, so we got to figure out a way. They have to figure out a way to make us hate Okada. Like, maybe some mic work or whatever the case would be. Like, say some scathing remarks or something in regards to Eddie Kingston, because Eddie Kingston, with all intents and purposes, he is the everyday man champion. He is the people's champion in a way, you know, for AEW. You know, Diamond Dallas Page was the people's champion in WCW. The Rock was the people's champion in WWE. Eddie Kingston is technically people's champion. He's the everyday man. Like, he's the, you know, for what people view him, he's the average guy, but he's a winner. And that lets other people know, like, because don't let your status dictate your success, because this man has three titles on him, and he's defending them successfully. So, you know, so Okada has to do something nefarious. He had to do something fiendish, evil, diabolical stuff for us to hate him. We talking like Don Callis type of heat. We talking Christian Cage type of heat. We need that type of heat from Okada, and Okada can be the top heel. And, you know, he just have to do some things, you know, we just got to see how it goes. But Okada as a heel is very, very interesting. Very interesting. Hanging around with the Bucks. Very interesting. We will see how that goes. We will definitely see how that goes. But the upcoming feud between Okada and Kingston will be something to see. Now, would it be a best of three? Like, with this feud on go? Because I can't see Eddie Kingston beating Okada, like, right out the gate. I can't see that happening. It's a possible. It's definitely possible. Crazier things have happened, but that remains to be seen. Now, next up, we have Will Ospreay delivers two times in a row. He delivered at Revolution against Takeshita. And I'm going to tell you right now, that right there, Takeshita and Ospreay, was the match of the night. I don't care. I know. Sting is my all-time favorite wrestler, and that's what it is. But the match of the night is definitely Ospreay and Takeshita. Man, if this don't highlight Takeshita's talent as a singles performer, I don't know what is. Everything is being shown to us, like, in front of us. And I can't wait to see what happens with Takeshita. And Will Ospreay broke that out. I mean, they threw on a clinic, man. They have so many movesets and, like, memorization and transitions and everything else in between. It was just poetry in motion. That's what it was. It was poetry in motion. And you thought he was finished, because he went up against Kyle Fletcher of the United Empire, his friend. Now, did Kyle Fletcher show off like Takeshita did? You damn right he did. He showed off just as good as Takeshita did against Will Ospreay. And Will Ospreay put on a clinic twice. This man is leaner. Put on like 5-star matches twice in a row, man. Listen, this man is a superstar. You understand? He's not just a star. He is a superstar. AEW got some superstars out here. You know what I'm saying? Swerve. Ospreay has the crowd in the palm of his hand. The minute he comes out of the curtain, the minute they chant Ospreay, The whole arena erupts. The whole arena erupts. He already has them like this. Already. And then you thought he was finished. Then you see him in his in-ring work. His in-ring work is impeccable. Crazy. One of the most athletic people I've ever seen in a professional wrestling ring. Now, am I a little concerned about the movesets? Because, you know, I think somewhere rumored that Jericho told him, hey, you know what? You can slow down. You don't have to do a whole lot of things because you already got the crowd in the palm of your hand. You know, you just do this and that and the third, but space it out a little bit. You don't have to go 110 miles an hour. That's my only concern. That is my only concern with him, because with a wrestler like that, you have to preserve him. And he could be a guy that can stay with AEW this entire time, because AEW is still growing, man. Still growing. And he goes back after his first tour. Like, these are only two matches, man. We got this man for a minute. AEW has him for a minute. This is crazy. 2024 was popping off, I hear. AEW said, nah, forget all the other stuff. Forget what happened last year. This is 2024. We got a new logo. We bringing back the tunnels. We got a new ring set. We got new intro music. We got new camera angles and stuff. We got the ranking system. Not to mention, we got Will Ospreay. We got Okada. And soon to be Mercedes Moné coming on Wednesday. Can't tell them shit. It's nothing you can say that's negative about AEW on what they're doing business-wise and on their greatest signees. Nothing you can say. Unless you're a little elitist. Unless you a WWE elitist and you just do not want AEW to succeed. That you don't want to hear the fact that AEW signed these people. They go, well, what better for them? Will Ospreay. That's another thing that kind of like went over people saying as far as that deal. You do what right for you. He don't have to uproot his family and move to the States. He don't have to do that. He could go back home anytime he wants to. That a perk in working for AEW. If I live in another country, I don't have to uproot my family. I don't have to leave. I can just get on a plane, do a few wrestling matches, and come see my family, and everything else in between is peachy. And a babyface Will Ospreay is cool. A babyface Will Ospreay is not bad, because he's super over the crowd. This dude is like, he's like a kid in a candy store. Whenever he's in the ring, he's talking on the mic, he's like super, super excited, and you can tell that it's genuine. You can tell that it's real. It's nothing that he's positioning himself to say. Like, he's thoroughly excited about being AEW, and he's like, he seems like one of those people that after a match you might see him and you're like, hey, you want to have a pint? And he's one of those guys. He's definitely seen like one of those wholesome guys that you could just hang out with. And that right there says a lot. Just be on the lookout for Will Ospreay, the main event at All In. That's just all I'm saying. A lot of people speculating Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland main event at All In. Oh, man. Dream matches. Now, one of the final things I'm going to say when it comes down to AEW with this ranking system. Now, the ranking system, how can I say this? It's not what I thought it was going to be. I thought the ranking system was going to be like how the old ranking system was going to be. You know, you had a ranking system for the World Championship, a ranking system for the International Championship, ranking system for the TNT Championship, ranking system for the Continental Championship, ranking system for the Tag Team Championship, ranking system for the TBS Championship, the Women's Championship, and so on, right? That's my thought process. That's what I was thinking. But looking at last month ranking, it's everybody was jumbled up. Like, you had a choice on who you wanted to face at that point. I mean, if I'm a wrestler, I'm number one ranked. What do you think I'm going for? I'm going to go for the World Championship. Easy stuff. Now, the ranking system hasn't been talked about since, and maybe it might quietly go away considering all the influx of people that's coming in. And you know, the ranking system was cool. It was straight, it was what it was. And I think you need a team to actually, if you're going to go forward with the ranking system, you have to have a team that mathematically get these wins and losses right. Not the dark matches. I'm talking Dynamite, Collision, Rampage. That's it. No Ring of Honor matches. Rampage, Dynamite, Collision. That's it. Tally up them wins and losses. You put that stuff in the ranking system because some rankings didn't make sense. Deonna Purrazzo won a couple matches and boom, she's the number one contender. You know, even though we knew what was going on, because storyline-wise, that made sense. Because it's going to be very difficult to put ranking in a story. Because if you're getting these wins, you got to build up a story somehow. And I think, in my opinion, I think they should do away with the ranking system quietly. They don't have to make an announcement or anything like that or anything of that nature. They don't have to make a grand announcement. Just go with the story, because you got some stories here and you got some storytelling going on and you got some people in the back, executive-wise, that have worked with other companies and been writing stories out and doing different camera angles. So now you can get some things popping off at this point. Every wrestling company has, I wouldn't say a low point, but a slow point. And a lot of people like to post the hard cam side and, oh, and they don't have that many attendance. And I mean, is that a recipe for disaster for the foreseeable future? Of course, yeah. Media future, no. But monetarily wise, they've been pumping on all cylinders. You know what I mean? Now, here's another thing. WWE has went through this attendance issue as well. They haven't always had 10,000, 15,000 seat arenas on every single week. It wasn't always like that. Even when they were in the arenas, they was topping off at like maybe 5,000 or 6,000 because people was doing other shit. I went to a few SmackDowns myself and it wasn't full, but on TV, the way you looked at it on TV, it looked full, but it wasn't full. But I wasn't one of those fans that like, oh, look at these empty seats, y'all. Check this out. They trash out here. Nah, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to enjoy the show, as should you. But it's some people that hate watch a show. It's some people that can't wait to see a show fail or a company fail or whatever the case may be. It's crazy. But as far as the ranking system goes, I'm somewhat of a fan of the ranking system if it's done correctly. I'm saying it's difficult to put story and the ranking system together, but it can be done. It's not impossible. It's just going to be difficult to do because you got to have a conversation in the back like, hey, we're going to push you, right? You're going to get wins. You're going to accumulate wins in your ranking, but you don't want to have a stale thing where a guy's on the mic and he says, well, I'm going to work my way from the bottom and I'm going to challenge for the AEW World Championship. And this is what I'm going to do. And Samoa Joe is a great champion. He's like, listen, you got to work your way up to me. Like, listen, I beat your ass. I choked you out. Back of the line. You got to start back from the bottom. We're going to have some decorum around here. You know what I'm saying? Now people just going to pull up to me and say, hey, I want a match. Nah, I ain't going to give you that match. Nah, you got to earn your way to face me. Because I'm Samoa Joe. That's what I do. This is my championship. I'm not going to. Nah. And I like that persona of Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe is definitely a strong figurehead for AEW. Wearing the suits, the ties, man. Put this man on NBA, on TNT. Put him on TV. Outside of AEW Dynamite. Put him on TV, man. Doing advertisements and all that stuff. Holding the belt. Advertising AEW. Man, so many things you could do with Samoa Joe. Such a well-spoken man. It is what it is. And he can whoop your ass. Straight out. So whoever beats Samoa Joe, man, they better be on their P's and Q's. But if that ever happens, you look at Toni Storm and what she's done for the AEW World Women's Championship and her persona, and her persona grew on me because this is the best I've ever seen of Toni Storm, to be honest with you. Like what she's done, how entertaining she is, and her and Mariah May, like easy stuff. Everybody is cooking. At this point, I cannot hate on AEW. Now, are there some matches that, I may not be interested in? All right, cool. But the signings that they have, the new atmosphere that they got going on, You can't do anything. You can't do anything. You can't say anything negative about that company unless you just hate it. Unless you just really hate AEW. You don't want to see anything successful come out of AEW or whatever the case may be. And that's a bad way to live. That's a horrible way to live. But check it. That is our show for today. And I hope you guys enjoy the show, man. My name is Urs Matt, the Mad Scientist. Do not forget to hit that like and subscribe button and that notification bell. And we will be back on Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Nerd Talk Live. Myself and Boogie Blends. Hope you guys enjoy the show. Until next time. Peace.